got to have a time limit at the end of the goal so that you can say to yourself, well, because otherwise, if you don't have the pressure and the expectation, you know, sometimes we become wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ultimately, there has to be a certain level of firmness when it comes to achieving what it is that we want.
There is a depth and a breadth to our lives that largely goes unexplored. As an equestrian life mindset coach and host of this podcast, I am here to lead you on that exploration. Deep conversations covering topics in and out of the show ring with industry leaders and unsung heroes alike, sharing their stories and what makes their journey unique, but relatable at the same time. We all have stories to share and lessons to trade, something we've learned from a horse or from each other. So relax and be ready to listen with more than just your ears. I'm Tracy Mitchell. Welcome to Hitting Your Stride. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Hitting Your Stride. Tracy Mitchell here from Equestrian Elements Life Coaching. Today's episode is kind of a special one, and it's slightly different. First off, I have a special guest with me here today, and we're actually in person. So before I get to that, I just want to touch on the fact that we are 3 days past the 1 year anniversary of Hitting Your Stride's very first episode. And that is mind-blowing to me. It's super exciting. And I'm sure in this conversation with my special guest, we'll sort of touch on where that journey has brought me along, but, this will be my 28th episode within the year of, well, just 1 month past a year of 2021. I started in December 20th of 2020, and here we are, and it's been an amazing journey. I've been extremely grateful and feel so blessed to have everybody that has taken their time to join me on this podcast and share their thoughts and experiences and just trying to, you know, help people grow and, you know, do what they can to better themselves and reach their goals and experience cool things in life. And I am here today with my brother, Rob Mitchell. And if anybody has not listened to or seen the fourth episode of Hitting Your Stride, Rob was one of my first guests that I had on. So welcome, Rob.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's fun to be here
in person. So again, for those of you that are listening to this, we are recording this on December 23rd.
Yeah.
So we've got some family time going on, but you will be listening to this right at the precipice of the new year. So it's either going to be December 31st or January 1st. So I thought I would take advantage of having Rob here at home and to do this episode together, because he's one of the most driven people that I've ever met in like every positive way possible, in someone that pushes himself to reach his goals. So, you know, this might be a bit of a conversation on setting goals. And I mean, and who does not want to think about setting their goals at this point in time, right, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. It's that that time of year when everyone's kind of aligning, you know, the next year and thinking about what they want to accomplish. So
yeah. Yeah. So Rob, for those that have not heard the fourth episode, do you mind giving the listeners a little bit of a rundown of your who you are and where you've been and where you're at now?
Yeah, right on. Well, I grew up in Lucan, Ontario, where I spent most of my childhood. Attended Medway High School, was involved in athletics and really kind of found my footing there, and found a passion for sports and wellness while I was in school. Went on to the University of McMaster, where I was a varsity level football player for 5 years and had opportunities to play in the CFL, and went to a CFL tryouts with the Montreal Alouettes back in 2009 and After that, I decided to get into teachers college. And since then, since 2012, once I graduated, I've worked with at-risk youth and youth from the justice system in a wilderness context, out in the bush, if you will, and working with youth. And I've also been fortunate enough to return to Lucan for a period of about almost 5 years, where I started up a gym, Whole Health Fitness. And then as life, you know, things change and passions change. And so I moved on from that and then found myself where I am now, which is working for Lac La Croix First Nation as a principal in a community that's about 3 hours west of Thunder Bay. So I'm home for Christmas right now and hanging out with my sister and brother-in-law. And so it's been awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'm so happy to have you here. And yeah, so I mean, we have always been good at sitting down and having some pretty cool conversations. Mm-hmm.
I know at the beginning you said you want to keep this under 45 minutes, but I'm chuckling because I feel like sometimes we get carried away.
Oh, but we can do that very easily, but let's try to stay on track.
All right.
Okay. What would you say? Because, you know, as I was, because we're kind of winging this. This is something that, you know, again, like I said, Rob and I chat very easily and we're both very like-minded with this kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. I know I get excited about the new year and the possibilities, and I love setting goals for myself and I love challenging myself. What would you say would be your philosophy? Like just something that you feel like you've grown within yourself over the years as to who you are now.
Honestly, the first thing that came to my mind, and that question wasn't even scripted, but when you asked that question, the first thing that came to my mind was that ultimately I control my destiny and how I respond to challenges or unseen circumstances that may arise. That's in my control. That's in my power. And how I respond to that, and those challenges, despite whatever my goal might be, you know, that's kind of my philosophy, that mm-hmm. like the ball's always in my court mm-hmm. and the opportunity to choose to go left or right or straight ahead is always something that resides with me. So
okay.
kind of that personal will to power.
Ah, I like that. Mm-hmm. Personal will to power. All right. So what happens then? Because I know we've all been there where we have our sights set on something that we want to achieve and something happens that might derail us. Mm-hmm. If that's ever happened to you, what mm-hmm. do you tell yourself to get yourself back on track and realize that it is still within your power?
I think a lot of it, I think metaphors and analogies are useful tools to help me overcome challenges. Mm-hmm. For example, since the time I was 13, I've been spending my time in the gym and preparing and trying to temper my body for a long time to play high level sports, but it's more or less become a lifestyle. And to this day, I think of the life lessons that the gym has provided me. And in a very real way, I think about, the adversity that comes within the moments of doing one set of an exercise, you know, like, let's say you put X amount of weight on a back squat and you're doing squats and you know what? It sucks. Your legs burn, your heart rate's up, you're breathing. But at the end of the day, you know, ultimately you're going to benefit from it. And mm-hmm. I think in a very real way, that's a lesson that I often try to apply to my life experience. And when things get blindsided or things come out of left field for me, it's kind of that I go to that mindset where it's like, hey, like, this is like the fourth set of the day, you know, like it's time to dig down. It's time to grit your teeth. I didn't plan for this, but mm-hmm. you know what? I think there's also a great deal of beauty and power that comes with being able to like respond to unforeseen challenges.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I feel like, you know, and for the riders listening, I mean, that's a prime example where mm-hmm. all of a sudden your horse is going one way and you're going the other. Mm-hmm. And it's not at all the way you expected to end your trip in the ring or your test or whatever it is that you're doing. Mm-hmm. But what do? I mean, it's that life analogy. You get back on the horse and finish the ride.
Yeah.
And so just setting those goals for yourself, understanding that things might not work out the way you want, but there's an opportunity to grow, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think I've told you this before, and I think I actually mentioned it in our last podcast. I used to work with a gentleman at our outdoor school, and he used to say, sometimes it's okay to shoot the arrow and then paint the bullseye.
Yes.
You know, and I think it's important to remember that, like, we can never predict life and we can never really fully prepare for, you know, what's coming around the corner. So I think it's important to obviously be flexible and adaptable and, you know, just being realistic.
Yeah. And you don't have to be perfect.
No.
So like, as you know, as this new year is approaching, we don't, if you're the goal setting type, that's awesome. Then this conversation is for you. If you're someone that's like, well, if I set a goal, it's probably just going to flub itself in 3 weeks, or I never make it past March. Well, then this conversation could still be for you too, because everybody's got the possibility to do what they want to achieve. Yeah. So let's talk about these SMART goals. Some of you out there might have already have heard of these, but this is an acronym to help you set goals. And you would describe this SMART goals as something that's sort of like an easy starter point, right?
Absolutely. It's, I know a lot of, different organizations use it as a means to help, their employees, but as a, as an educator, I've taught a few courses in the Ontario curriculum where I often get my students to apply SMART goals either on a long-term scale throughout the entire course year, or even on a weekly basis. And so they're extremely valuable, and because it's an acronym, it kind of condenses it and helps you frame what it is exactly that you're trying to accomplish.
Okay. So let's look at the first one then. For the first one for SMART goals is that your goal should be specific.
Yeah.
Can you explain that one?
Yeah. So if your goals are rather generalized and maybe even to a certain extent abstract, I think sometimes we can get lost. It's a little bit easier in that sense to kind of fall off the wagon. So it's really important to really kind of establish that foundational principle that's unwavering regardless. And it being specific, it's, you know, there isn't a whole lot of variability in what could possibly come from it. So knowing exactly what it is that you're trying to accomplish is the first step, right? Because otherwise, if you don't have that destination, you know, how are you going to get there?
So you want to, if you're someone that's maybe challenged a little bit and trying to draw something out specific for yourself, sometimes it's great just to talk to somebody about it. Say, okay, this is, I don't know, I think I want to do this. Well, then let's put some specifics into that goal, right?
Yeah.
To help them map something out.
Absolutely.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. So, then the next one is measurable. So these goals have to be specific, and now they have to be measurable. What do you mean by that?
Well, there has to be a way that you're essentially tracking your success, right? So it's one thing to say, you know, whatever goal you may want to achieve, if you can't essentially show yourself. And I know, for example, like myself, if I can't see my progress, or not that I can't see it, but perhaps maybe I'm having a tough day and my morale is maybe a little bit lower than it normally is, being able to like look at my goals and notice the progress that I'm making is significant in not only helping me maintain my motivation, but also just reassuring myself that I'm on the path that I initially set out to find.
And for those that are like, oh, but I never measure far enough along, what can you say to that? Like just little itty bitty bits, right?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be anything significant. It could be as simple as like having a checklist for your day, right?
Okay, yeah.
Like having a checklist for your day, and maybe if it's, for example, a goal that you're attempting to accomplish in 6 months to 12 months, having your quote unquote measurable aspect could be having these five things that you're going to accomplish every single day, right? And then over a period of time, you could say, well, in the last week, Monday through Thursday, I was successful. Friday, I got 4 out of 5, you know, and whatever it might be. So being able to measure it, and then, you know, I'm the type of person, I like to see things in percentages. I don't know if it's just because I'm a teacher and I like to know that I'm maintaining an A average or something like that, but I'll often like translate it into a percentage and I'll say to myself, well, I'm batting 89% right now. I'm pretty happy with that.
And what's your self-talk if you don't get the 5 out of 5 things you're doing every day? What if you only get 3? What do you say to yourself?
Well, as we'll see, as part of the SMART goals, okay, there's a realistic aspect to it, right? Okay. So, I mean, if, for example, there's like an emergency or something, like, I mean, I'm a principal right now at a school. I go in every morning and I sit at my desk and I spend about 20 to 30 minutes in quiet, writing out all of the things that I have to do that day. Very often I never get that whole list complete because there's behavioral issues. There's, you know, parents calling, there's like all of these things that sideblind you. So it's like, you have to be reasonable with yourself. You have to be realistic. You can't assume that like day in and day out, I'm going to be able to accomplish that. Yeah. It's one thing to be motivated and to be driven, but it's also another thing to be unrealistic about life and what life can throw at you.
Because then that sort of, if you only get the 3 out of 5, your self-managing skills, I think, kind of come up and say, okay, so I only got 3 out of 5. Then it doesn't mean a previous guest, someone you know well, Ryan Mitra, right? Ryan trained Rob for the CFL tryouts. That was a great interview as well. And like Ryan said, as far as reaching your health or fitness goals, just because you have one flat tire doesn't mean you pop the other 3.
Right. Exactly. Like, don't undermine yourself.
Yeah,
right? Like,
exactly.
It's, you know, and kind of the way I would see it, like, to be truthful, would be that, well, I'm still above 50%, you know, I'm still passing and it's one day, right?
Yeah.
Like, not every day do you wake up, do you feel like $1 million? Yeah. Not every day, especially if you have a long-term goal or something that is in greater than, say, a year, then it's like, you know what, not every day is going to be, you know, you're going to be jazzed about it.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, we just, it's part of the growth, right?
Yeah.
Is rolling with it.
Okay. So we've done specific, we've done measurable. The next one in our SMART goals is attainable.
Right. So choosing a goal that is attainable. So, when I'm working with my students, or even with clients in the past in the gym, you know, for example, if I was working with someone that was quote unquote beginner level fitness, you know, maybe one day they would have a 300-pound back squat, but I'm not going to necessarily start that off. I'm not going to say, hey, 4 years down the road, you're going to be able to do a 300-pound back squat.
Right.
It has to be something that's attainable, so that people are able to focus and along the way, I think it's also important to have those little quote unquote success moments that allow you to maintain that momentum. So those attainable goals can not only apply to your ultimate goal, but also your daily steps, right? Yeah. So maybe your attainable goal is to get on your horse once a day. Right. Or maybe it's to get on your horse 3 times a week. Right?
Right.
So whatever it might be, it has to be attainable. It has to be something that, you know, you can manage and that you can organize and that you can implement. And even to a certain extent that you can be flexible with, because like I mentioned before, things are going to come from left field some days. So having that attainability is essential to goals being successful.
Well, and this is pretty cool too, having this conversation at this point in time, because you know, the 2022 show season will be starting, I don't know, May, I think, maybe the first show, or there might be some schooling shows ahead of time, and people have maybe purchased their Silver Series passes. They've committed to this next season.
They've bought in.
So whatever the plan is for each horse and rider who might be listening to this, you know, it's like, okay, so how do I get myself going on this? Because there's 5 months to that starting point. What do these riders need to do? So it's like, I might say, what do you need to prepare yourself for that next show season. Mm-hmm. You've got 5 months. Do you need to be a little bit more fit in the mm-hmm. tack? Do you need to work on your time management? Do mm-hmm. you need to work on riding more in mm-hmm. a week, mm-hmm. et cetera? Do you need to work on your work life and managing your life outside of the barn so that when you come to the barn to focus on this goal, nothing, you know, not everything is getting in your way. Mm-hmm. So there's all sorts of different ways we could look at that. But that's definitely, you know, something as far as the attainable thing goes that right mm-hmm. now people looking ahead, I can guarantee you that like 95% of the people listening to this right now that have set goals for this upcoming show season, it's attainable, mm-hmm. you know,
because yeah, sure.
I mean, they've got good coaches behind them. They've mm-hmm. got good life coaches working with them, you know, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff works mm-hmm. together. So mm-hmm. you can plan.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. Yeah.
Okay. So we've done specific, measurable, attainable, and now we are at realistic.
Yeah. Which is the big one, right?
Yeah.
And it's often the tough one. And it's not to diminish anyone that has great aspirations, because I think it's important to dream big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old saying, like, shoot for the moon, and if you miss, you land amongst stars. Like,
love it.
I know it's a great little saying, but I think that really is truthful in the sense that, like, it's important that we're realistic about where we're at right now and ultimately where we're going. In terms of being realistic, to just kind of give you some context, it's kind of like, well, you know, if a middle-aged person came to me and said, I want to play in the NHL,
hmm.
you know, and, you know, most people enter that league at 18, 19, 20, yeah. maybe 21. So it's kind of like, you know, you have to be realistic with what you're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never of the mindset that I would ever tell someone, you know, that's not possible,
mm-hmm.
but there are certain, I would say, necessary sub goals that would have to fall in place before
you get to that. I love that. Sub goals.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to look at it. Cause like mm-hmm. you said, when someone says, I want to, you know, master, let's say level 3 dressage this next year, but maybe your horse isn't quite
right.
That doesn't have the natural capability of doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the good sub goal would be to polish your skills,
mm-hmm.
get this horse as developed to a level 3 as mm-hmm. you possibly can, where it's happy, healthy, enjoying its work, and
right.
the two of you have a great relationship, and then find the next step
right
to reaching that goal.
And maybe, you know, I think that and we'll cover the last part, but I think oftentimes when it comes to the New Year's resolutions and whatever it might be, it's almost like our goals are often confined to 365 days.
Right.
It's almost like we limit ourselves. So who's to say that, like, your goal can't also be a 5-year goal, right? Mm-hmm. And in which case, the example you provided, my mindset would be like, okay, well then if it's a 5-year goal to get your horse to that point and yourself to that point, then, like, what if you broke it down into sub goals, like we just said, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this year, what are your goals, right? And then what necessary steps are you going to take to ultimately reach that 5-year goal,
mm-hmm.
right?
I get so nerded out on this stuff. It's so much fun. It just makes me want to plan and,
you know,
test myself.
Yeah.
All right. So the last one for our SMART acronym for the T is time.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Well, it basically just means you have to tell yourself that there's going to be a deadline. Like, you have to give yourself a deadline. And it kind of goes hand in hand with being realistic. And sometimes, like, you know what, part of learning is making mistakes. And, you know, I'm the type of person that, like, I have the mentality that, I, you know, when I put my mind to something, I don't care what's in my way. I'm going to, I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to be successful regardless of what happens. But
yep.
there are often times, like, when I, for example, and because it's a realm that I'm comfortable with, like, sometimes I'll program a workout for myself. And I'll get into the workout and I'll say to myself, what was I thinking? Like, this is so hard, right? And I persevere and I push through. But at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, it's like, whoa, it just really knocks your socks off. So you gotta have a time limit at the end of the goal so that you can say to yourself, well, because otherwise, if you don't have the pressure and the expectation, you know, sometimes we become wishy-washy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, ultimately there has to be a certain level of firmness when it comes to achieving what it is that we want.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to make ourselves accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really difficult for some people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think I'm pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. I definitely need a support system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all the listeners here, if you don't know, well, then I'm sharing it with you right now. If you don't follow Equestrian Elements Life Coaching on social media, is that I made the commitment
mm-hmm.
and the goal to take part in the CrossFit Open.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? The end of February, beginning of March.
Yep.
Yep. So it's getting close.
Yeah.
And my coach, Patrick, my personal trainer, Patrick, is someone that Rob knows really well. When Rob owned Whole Health Fitness, he brought Pat on yep. as a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Pat is amazing. I will be having him on before the open, so all of you can hear more about my story and stuff that Pat and I deal with day to day, or what he deals with, dealing with me. But yes, this CrossFit Open. So, and Rob, like I love watching Rob do what he does physically for himself, because you test yourself more than anybody I've ever
mm-hmm.
known.
Mm-hmm.
And I always call on my DNA because
yeah.
I know I've got that in
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't say this too loud or too often out loud, but I turned 50 this past June.
Whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop. And yeah, so this is a big goal for me. I've always been physically active. Strength is hands down.
Yeah, it's your wheelhouse.
That is my wheelhouse. It's like times when Rob would train me and I'd be feeling down and I'd come into the gym and he's like, all right, let's just throw some heavy shit around, right? So deadlifting just makes me smile.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is a big thing for me. It is... there's a date.
Yep.
And
so I was just about to say, so let's apply your goal to the SMART.
Okay.
To the SMART goal. So uh-huh. it's specific
uh-huh.
because you have 3 workouts over 3 weeks.
Which I did not know.
I know.
I did not know this when I committed to this. And then Pat mentions that. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. He mentioned it to me and I had a chuckle to myself. So it's specific.
Yep.
Okay. Each workout, because you yourself are not only competing with yourself, but for those that aren't aware, it's basically an international fitness competition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's measurable, because you're not only going to see your own progress in the workout, but you're also going to be able to see yourself in comparison to other people.
And
I know for me, the competitive side of myself as an athlete, like I love the thrill of knowing where other people are. Cause then it, like, when push comes to shove, I'll be like, oh, they did it in 20 minutes. Okay. I'm going to do it in 19.
Right? Well, last year's CrossFit Open, you came in 15, top 15 in Canada.
Well, for one specific workout.
Wow.
I yeah.
So that's crazy.
For the 36 and over, I entered the master class this year. So yeah. So your goal is measurable. Okay. It is very attainable
uh-huh.
because I mean, the great thing about the CrossFit Open is that there are age categories, everything from 18, it goes 18 to 35 is quote unquote the standard category, but then every subsequent category is comprised of 5 years
okay.
and it goes all the way up to 80. So it's attainable,
yeah.
right? Like it's for everyone, right?
Yeah.
It's very realistic
mm-hmm.
and there is a time limit.
Yeah.
So you only have 3 weeks to get it done. So,
yeah. And you know what, for the perfectionist side in me, you know, and I have a lot of clients, like a lot of massage therapy clients out there that I work for that know that I'm doing this and mm-hmm. everybody's like, hey, Trace, how's it going?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, first of all, thank you for the support. I know that I've got everybody's support.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to go and like get a ranking.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I don't want that to sound like I'm, you know, oh, I'll just do it and mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bust my butt.
Mm-hmm.
But this is almost like more of a personal thing
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Because like the whole endurance aspect of CrossFit can be challenging. It's mm-hmm. a huge mental thing. And
yeah.
I know that's what Pat and I are going to touch on. I've learned a lot about me
mm-hmm.
and how I move and activate outside of the gym
mm-hmm.
doing these things with Patrick preparing. And the realistic part is I'm not going to push myself to the point of stressing myself out, trying to achieve something that mm-hmm. at 50, you know, is something that, you know, I could I still do. I don't know. I'm dedicated to this because I want to share the experience with other people and have them know that it can be done. Quite honestly, though, I really love like the weightlifting stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to get back to tire flipping and doing all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then the time, this was huge for me because I will say the biggest thing to get me to commit to this was committing my time.
Yeah.
So not only is it a set time that, okay, here is when the open is, but for me, I had to set my schedule and commit to myself 2 times a week with Patrick and then a minimum of 1 more day a week to myself going to the gym and doing something. So it's been hard, but I feel like I've really benefited from it. And I feel like other aspects of my life have grown from doing this goal.
And I think really what you're hitting on is the notion of discipline. And I think that like it's one thing to be, you know, quote unquote romanticize about achieving goals and stuff, but when push comes to shove, I think that like discipline, which is like the hardest thing to do, and I was sharing with you earlier today just kind of some of the things I'm doing to kind of help myself feel more aligned and more empowered within myself is doing a morning routine. So my morning routine recently has been to get up at 5 a.m. and I make my way to the kitchen and press on to the coffee machine. And then I make my way and I go and have like a cold bath. That's like, well, ice bath, for anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes. A little bit of, helps to boost your immune system. I know a lot of people like, why would you do that? And some mornings, honestly, I'm like, why am I doing this? But then I remember, you know, like, I really like pushing my boundaries. I love like the thrill of knowing that like I persevered this challenge of feeling like when I woke up this morning, I didn't want to do this, but I know that the health benefits of undergoing that far outweigh the, you know, the benefits of being lazy and staying under the covers for 30 minutes, you know, and the warm comfort. And the truth is that life isn't found in our comfort zones. Life is found outside our comfort zones and embracing challenges. So I do my ice bath. I get up, I go and grab my freshly brewed coffee. I usually do about 10 or 15 minutes of meditation. And then I'll either, you know, once that's done, I'll either listen to an audiobook or I'll read. And it's all about like personal development and personal growth. Cause you know, we were talking about earlier, like maybe like what I'm focusing on this next year. And I would really have to say is to be the most well-rounded individual I can. So I have a goal of reading say 12 books, basically one book a month. Right. And these are like measurable aspects, right. Getting back some of my weightlifting numbers that I was doing before I kind of took on the role as principal and, you know, and now that I'm in the role that I'm in, and after 2 years of kind of learning how to navigate this new position and in, you know, the community and everything like that, I feel like you know, the way that I'm going to be successful is by finding myself again. And not that I'm not successful at what I'm doing right now, but I do feel like there's a part of my personality that I really need to honor in this next year, which is that kind of that warrior mindset and warrior spirit a little bit and challenge myself physically. And because Lord knows my job challenges me every day, but if I'm not right and I'm not aligned within myself and waking up and when I walk in, I'm already as sharp as a sword could be, then, you know, it can be a little bit, you can get sidetracked and beat up, you know?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I love that. Cause I don't know, in today's world, when there's so much to sidetrack you, the ability to actually take yourself out of the mix, whether it be for a half an hour or 10 or 15 minutes, my ritual that I have started within probably the last 3 weeks, because I was feeling very scattered because the life coaching is amazing. I'm loving it. I'm busy. The massage therapy, the equine massage therapy is amazing. Loving it. I'm busy. How am I finding? So my personal development and personal growth has been finding the time to have my focus work on that. So I set the alarm for 6. I don't know. I would like to. I think right now this time of year has been really hard on me getting up.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody can agree. Mm-hmm. I know once things start getting lighter in the morning, I will probably start getting up at 5:30, but mm-hmm. my alarm is off at 6. I'm up at like 6:10 at the latest. Mm-hmm. I come into the office here. I sit down on my yoga bolster. Mm-hmm. And I'll even put in earplugs just to keep out any extra sound, mm-hmm. but I just let divine downloads come mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. Like what messages am I listening to? What creative thoughts do mm-hmm. I want to draw? And then I just start writing this stuff down. And then I take, depending on what my morning has in store, 10, 15 minutes to do a meditation as well. Mm-hmm. So just doing that has given me the opportunity to collect myself mm-hmm. and get focused.
Yeah. And that discipline itself is setting up the rest of your day to be successful.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people would probably attest to the experience of when you start getting one or two things in a row and you can feel that momentum building, whether it's in a team kind of aspect or whether it's in your own personal life, mm-hmm. like building that momentum, it makes your day that much easier, your goals that much easier. So being consistent with that aspect of discipline and doing it first thing in the morning, like not staying under the covers for another half hour and hitting the snooze alarm, mm-hmm. I think can really make a huge difference in how you approach your day and just also how like shakeable you are, right? Because I think that when you align your body, mind, and intention first thing in the morning and you say, this is what I want to be and this is what I want to do today, mm-hmm. then I think that it gives you more clarity and insight throughout the day when, you know, things from left field come or, yeah.
So for those that are listening right now, this is, oh my goodness, this is really great. I can relate. I know I've been there at moments in my life. It's like, how do I just slow everything down in my brain? Or in some cases, how do I get an energy boost? Mm-hmm. You know, because it's all about changing.
Take a cold bath.
You know, and my listeners that have listened to all of my episodes are going to laugh at that because I did one where I take cold showers and I love it.
Yeah. It's exhilarating and it wakes you up. And I mean, there's countless health benefits with that.
I love it. Too. Anyway. Okay. So let's say you're back at the gym mm-hmm. and you've got a client that's really like really challenged right now and is mm-hmm. having a hard time picking themselves up and, you know, focusing on that goal or mm-hmm. making the changes necessary. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone right now who's mm-hmm. experiencing that?
Yeah. Start small. Like it's the little things, right? You know, like I just listed off about 5 or 6 things that I try to do every morning, but maybe your goal is just to get your feet on the floor. Like maybe you are that someone and maybe you don't particularly like that aspect of your personality and you get frustrated with the fact that you keep hitting the snooze alarm. So maybe you just start small. You got to start somewhere. Lao Tzu, the Taoist philosopher, said that the first step in a 1,000-mile journey is always the hardest. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks to that momentum aspect, right? Like once you get 2, 3, 4, 5 steps completed, all of a sudden you look back and you're like, okay,
look at me go.
Right. I'm starting to gain momentum. I'm starting to move towards my goal. So I think really it's starting small. So if just to use the morning as an example, maybe you are someone that opts to hit the snooze alarm and you yourself know that it's not really benefiting you and it's kind of contrary to your counterintuitive to your goals, then say, you know what, this morning I may like sit at the edge of my bed for a minute or two to collect myself and maybe like try to wake myself up, but just get your feet on the floor. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know those times where I've felt tested. It's I feel bad. Mm-hmm. Like I'm letting myself down. Mm-hmm. If I stay in bed or if I press snooze or if I don't get up at minimum of 10 minutes after the alarm went off, I will know. It's like, Tracy, you're letting yourself down mm-hmm. if you don't do this. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, like you said, drag mm-hmm. yourself out of bed, but then there's that sense of accomplishment.
Yeah. Like that's a victory. And yes. I don't think people like, I think sometimes it gets lost in it. Mm-hmm. You know what? Like, I'm going to paraphrase because I know there's Marcus Aurelius, the philosopher, talks about, he actually has a direct quote about talking about the repercussions of staying under the comforters.
Oh, really?
And I'll have to find the quote and I'll send it to you. But
okay. He
basically says that, like, you know, we only have finite time on this, you know, in this, on this earth. And ultimately, you know, our time here is for our personal development and our personal growth. And you know, so we're undermining ourselves, and we're also undermining the people in our lives, because the only wealth that we really can give away is our time and our energy. So, So it's one of those things where I think it's important to kind of always have that perspective. And it's something that I've gained tremendously just from reading philosophy and engaging with it in meaningful ways that, you know, I haven't always been an early riser. I think in my teens, I was probably most like most teens, I was, you know, I'd rather stay up late and sleep in. And, but, you know, now I'm the type of person where it's like, I want to get up before the sun gets up, and to watch the sunrise in the morning is also extremely beautiful. So,
I love that. And I'm kind of surprised that with the comment of time being finite, you didn't mention your sister's age.
Yeah. We're on a podcast right
now. So you really want to, don't you? Okay. So a couple of the other things that we thought that we would talk about that were sort of prevalent in our lives right now. And I know with my coaching clients and so many other people I talk to are boundaries. Yes. Like, you know, how do you set boundaries for yourself? Let's just be honest, without pissing other people off. Right. Yeah. How are you experiencing that? I mean, in the, your work situation, you're in charge of like leading teachers and, you know, kids and all this kind of stuff. How do you set boundaries for yourself outside of work?
Well, to be honest with you, I more or less just quite frankly tell people, either directly, you know, or, you know, implicitly, like I'll say, you know, someone may say to me, you know, what are your plans for the weekend? And I'll say, well, you know, because I'm on from 7:30 in the morning until 5 at night throughout the whole school day, that's dealing with people, working with people, responding, putting fires out, dealing with kids, like, you know, and don't get me wrong, I love it. But at the end of the day, I also know that I can't do that successfully unless I have time for myself to recharge, collect myself, maybe even do some personal development, go to the gym, meditate, you know, read, whatever it might be. So I think there has to be an aspect of fearlessness. Like, it's your health, it's your wellness. No one else is going to take time for you. No one else is going to award you time for it. So it's like, you have to draw lines in the sand. You have to be honest with people. And so, for example, with some of my staff, I may say, you know, like, I'm here from 7:30 till 5. I usually do maybe an extracurricular with the kids after that. But 8 o'clock rolls around, I draw my blinds, the world can go away. Like, this is my time. Like, I'm going to spend time with my partner and my dogs. And that's where I want to be. And the challenge at times, and don't get me wrong, like, I love the community and the situation I'm in, but it is a really unique work situation in the sense that I'm working in that northern community. I'm the principal, and I'll often, you know, people will come to me at all hours of the night with the, you know, trying to find the answers to things or whatever it might be. And I've just had to be honest with people. I'm like, you know what? It's not an emergency. The house isn't burning down. I'll deal with it in the morning. Like, come find me in the morning. But this is my time right now. And, you know, so, yeah, just being honest and, my experience in being honest with people, I feel like more people are open to you being frank with them than you misleading them and trying to duck and dodge them and almost create a suspicion. Cause then maybe the individuals, maybe their close friends, maybe their family members, they're like, why aren't they wanting to spend time? Like, you know, don't let them assume that, you know, the reasons what behind it. And maybe it is related to your goals, right? Maybe it's related to that 1 year goal, 2 year goal that you're trying to achieve. Then just say, hey, like, this is an aspect that's important to me and I need to achieve this. And I know it's easier said than done for some people, but it is essential and it is important. And I think it's also important to just be honest with people, because the last thing you want them to do is assume what they're, you know, because then you're just going to get into a whole mess, and then it's going to be misunderstanding after misunderstanding.
And I know, on the last podcast, I actually had, this wonderful woman, Kendra, she is a social worker. So we talked about boundaries, and she, in her very warm and inviting way, described, you know, how to handle these, talking about social dynamics in the barn. And like, I think just generally, whether we're, you know, riders and horse people listening to this, I'm sure can look at their barn experience. Mm-hmm. Yes, because that's just like a whole other entity and so many personalities within mm-hmm. it. So again, it's always a challenge of how do I, you know, just go to the barn and enjoy my horse mm-hmm. without mm-hmm. dealing with all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think you're pretty much the same. I'm pretty good at like putting up, mm-hmm. like putting myself in a bubble. Mm-hmm. I know some people might go, what? But it, like just putting up some walls. And mm-hmm. it might be to my face. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty good at having this face that says, okay, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm for me right now. Mm-hmm. Don't. Mm-hmm. Please don't.
I think it's probably years of like, for example, like being in a gym, you know, and you see people coming into the gym and they want to talk to you uh-huh. because it's an opportunity to talk to you. I'm like, you know what, with all due respect, I'm not here to talk to you. I'm here to like for my own personal development.
Yeah.
And a lot of my experiences with goals and stuff have been aligned with fitness and stuff like that. So sometimes I used to walk around the gym with earbuds in and nothing plugged into it. So just the very simple fact that I would have these would be a reason not to talk to me.
Yeah. Right?
And yeah, I think, you know, just making eye contact and nodding and then just going about your business, people, I think generally pick yeah. up on those cues.
And it's so funny you mentioned that because as, you know, the massage therapist, so I'll be in a barn working away. And I'll be working on a horse for an hour. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I will be observing the fact that people are there to ride, mm-hmm. but it takes them forever mm-hmm. to get tacked up and get going because they get sidetracked. Mm-hmm. So then in my mind, I'm like, well, what's this doing to your riding time? Mm-hmm. What's this doing to the rest of your day as mm-hmm. everything gets backlogged mm-hmm. and you lose control mm-hmm. of your time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that you can't be social at the
yeah.
barn,
yeah.
but when our lives are already so determined by time and schedule, sometimes it's just good if you just, you know, watch what you're talking to somebody about and say, mm-hmm. hey, if you want to chat later, mm-hmm. let's have a phone call
right.
or something. Yeah. Right. So yeah, like just letting people know, because I know for a fact that some of these people were like, oh, I just wanted to get on my horse and get riding.
Yeah.
And now I'm a half hour late.
Yeah. And I think mindset has a lot to do with it too, right? Okay. Like reconnecting to your intention on a daily basis and mm-hmm. reminding yourself. So I'll often put little post-it notes around my apartment that just remind me of goals and things that I want to achieve. Like,
nice.
For example, like on my coffee machine, right? Like
press start.
No, like cold bath, right? Like, oh. or like things like that, where it's like, I have a constant reminder of these goals that I want to achieve, or the steps in the process, as reminders, because sometimes, you know, I can be a social butterfly at times too. And like being in a social environment, if I'm feeling a quote unquote, an energy buzz and I'm happy to be there and I'm excited.
Oh, then, the whole area knows about it.
Right. Then I can be, you know, when I used to run fitness classes, I used to get a high
yep.
off of, you know, helping so many people in a fitness class. So I can buzz around and do all that. But in the context of our day to day, I think it's important to just, you know, remind yourself on a daily basis. And in those moments, like, okay, I'm coming here. It doesn't mean I have to be rude or, you know, ignore people, but what's your intention? Or in the words of Tim McGraw, how bad do you want it? Right? Like
cowboy up.
Yeah. Right. Like saddle up, let's go. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's important to yeah, just connect to that. And to be quite honest with you, most people, I'd say 95% of people are usually pretty reasonable at connecting to social cues and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So just be honest. You never be wrong by honest. And yeah. and I can't remember who it was said that, but like if people get offended by that, then maybe they're not the people you want around you, you
yeah.
know, as part of your team.
And as a part of your attainable goal.
Yeah.
Situation.
Yeah. yeah.
I know, like we could probably talk forever about mindset and stuff. And I don't know, we have been very fortunate mm-hmm. to come from DNA on both sides of our family that has a pretty strong mindset and very focused and
gritty.
Yeah, we're both very gritty, and our dad is no longer with us. Mm-hmm. But he was a great example for us mm-hmm. at times of when you want something, go for it. And he always instilled that mm-hmm. fire in us that mm-hmm. if we want it, nothing can stop us.
No. And I think too, the, you know, ultimately, like, he ended up having trouble with his addiction issue, but there were times where I think about him telling us, like, you know, if you want anything in life, you got to grab bull by the horns and take control. And I can think of two examples. One, when he just decided off the, you know, one random day, he decided to quit smoking.
Oh yeah.
And he just stopped. Mm-hmm. And like, that's a prime example of, you know, and I'm not saying that, like, you know, I know for a lot of people, they struggle with smoking and quitting smoking, but like, my dad didn't have superpowers.
No.
You know, as a matter of fact, he had a lot of challenges and flaws and things like that. But one thing that he did have was the ability to say, no, this is what needs to be done. And this is my only option. And I'm not going to do any otherwise. Right. Yeah. The time that he did persevere and clean up and stop drinking there for a few years, where it was like, oh my God, like,
oh yeah,
he struggled that whole weekend. And I remember mom saying to me, like, you know, it's probably good that you weren't around this weekend, but, you know, albeit dad came out of it, yeah, and like, he did it because of his grit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we got to give kudos to our mom too. I mean, those listening to this who are close to us know that our mother was diagnosed with colon cancer.
Yeah.
A year ago this past October. Mm-hmm. She has just graduated with a clean bill of health.
Woo!
Our mom is amazing.
Yeah.
She, the whole time, like, she went through 8 rounds of oral chemo. She
6 months.
Six months worth. She did not, she worked out every day.
And she maintained a positive mindset the whole time. She's like, I know that at the end of the day, this is in my control, and I'm going to beat it.
And she's going to be 77 this February.
Yeah.
And she just bought her own rower.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. She's become addicted to rowing. Yeah. So yeah.
She's just rowing her little ass every day. Yeah. And she eats impeccably.
Yeah.
And she's so focused. And, you know, to listen to her, if anybody were to say anything about, oh, Donna, do you need help with this? She's like, get out of my way.
Right.
Yeah. She is just incredible. And I know when I go to the gym, because mom works out at the gym, and Patrick and the owner of the gym, John, and just anybody who knows mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm feeling crappy and thinking I won't go to the gym, I think of Donna Mitchell.
Yeah.
Because if my mother can do it through 6 months of chemo, then the rest of us can do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so yeah, we've been very lucky with that. And yay, mom, you're an inspiration.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
for sure.
So do you have any goals? We'll just end this. We'll wrap this up. Can you think of a goal other than, like, is there anything?
No, I think ultimately my life trajectory in terms of personal development is to be the most well-rounded individual I can possibly be, not only like physically strong, flexible, you know, in terms of that, but also strong and flexible mentally, emotionally, being someone that can be grounded,
a good person,
right? You know what I mean? And I know that these, despite the fact we already talked about SMART goals, that these aren't very specific. This is a perfect example of some kind of abstraction, but within myself, I have these little check marks, you know, like in terms of being well-rounded, like I said earlier, I want to read a book a month, kind of thing like that. Spending time doing courses. I want to maybe do additional qualification, which is an opportunity for teachers to upgrade their skill set. So I want to do an additional qualification in phys ed this year.
Nice.
I'd like to successfully continue to go to the gym 5 days a week and whatnot. So those are some kind of general steps that I'm going to take to kind of help me reach this well-rounded goal that of mine. But it's not something that I'm limiting to 365 days. No, it's exactly something that I'm going to continue to strive for however, I'm on this earth.
Well, when you're that well-rounded and working on being that aware, I think then the other aspects of goals that you set for yourself kind of present themselves that much more, not easily necessarily, but, you know, if you're working on you, what can't you do?
Well, and I think when you're working on you, you also become heightened. You have a heightened awareness to opportunities that approach you or appear to you, you know, and I think that has a big thing when it comes to achieving your overall success.
Yeah.
Stuff,
going for those challenges that grow you and push you.
Yeah. Don't be afraid of discomfort.
Don't be afraid. What is it? Embrace the suck.
Yeah. Embrace the suck. Yeah. I say that myself every time I do burpees.
So happy 2022. Yeah, right. Oh my goodness. Well, I hope you guys have enjoyed this conversation between brother and sister. It's awesome. Yeah. I'm so happy to have him home. And yeah. So anyway, Rob, I hope you have an awesome year.
Yeah, it's going to be wicked.
Okay, cool.
All right.
So there you have it. I have some great interviews lined up for future episodes, and we'll be covering some pretty interesting topics. As always, with the intent to open and engage the horse world on a wide variety of issues. So until next time, keep your eyes forward and continue to hit your stride. To stay current with Hitting Your Stride, subscribe on my website or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. If you like what you've heard here today, make sure you share and leave a comment to help guide future episodes and widen the audience. And be sure to check out social media to keep up to date with Equestrian Elements Life Coaching.